Matthew chapter number 16, and we are reading beginning at verse number 13. And when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremias, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. And so for the next few minutes of time, I want to labor in teaching, understanding the Godhead, part three. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just ask the Lord to be with us and help us here today. Father, we love you. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. I'm excited about God. I'm excited about church. I'm excited about the harvest. I'm excited about revival. I'm excited about salvation, souls. I'm excited about what God is doing. Praise God. Amen. And I appreciate Him tonight. Praise God. Part three of understanding the Godhead. And we have got just a few things that we have crossed here within the past couple of weeks. And we've established a couple of principles. Number one, the number one principle is simply that there is only one God. And then principle number two is the one God of the Bible, the Father, is a spirit. Amen. Is a spirit. Praise God. And so when we get into a little bit of review here today, amen, we want to talk a little bit about that one God, that the principle that God is one. And we're not going to cover all of these, obviously, in detail, but simply we want to just kind of brush up a little bit, but there is only one God. And most people are going to agree with that because that the Bible is emphatic about it. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 4 says,
Hear, O Israel.
You need to open up your ears and you need to listen.
Yes. The Lord our God is one Lord.
The Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's just about as emphatic as it possibly can get. Just as plain as it possibly can get. Praise God. Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. Praise God. And I'm so thankful for that. And then in Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 28, one of the scribes came and read.
And one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together.
He heard about all of this going on.
And perceiving that he had answered them well,
he approved of their answers.
Asked him, which is the first commandment of all?
Which is the first commandment of all of the 600 plus? What would you say is the first?
And Jesus answered him.
Jesus answered.
The first of all the commandments.
This is number one.
Is hear, O
you need
Israel,
to listen.
The Lord our God.
The Lord our God.
Is one Lord.
Is one Lord.
And thou shalt love.
You're going to love him?
The Lord thy God with all thy heart.
With all of your heart.
And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind.
Yes.
And with all thy strength.
And with all of thy strength.
This is the first commandment.
This is the first commandment. Amen. The English Standard Version and the Nearly Inspired Version or the New Interlineal Version says that which commandment is the most important, the scribe would say. And Jesus answered and said, the most important is. The Amplified Version said, which commandment is first and most important of all? And Jesus answered and said, the first and the principal one, in other words, the unchanging one of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise God. And then we learned that the God of the Bible, the Father, is a spirit. John 4:24.
God is a spirit.
God is a spirit.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
It just simply said that God is a spirit. You're not necessarily going to see 5 fingers and 5 toes or 10 fingers and 10 toes. You're not going to see a nose and 2 eyes and a mouth with 2 ears. You're not going to see hair. You're not going to see fingers, digits. You're not going to see legs. You're not going to see skin. God is a spirit without flesh, without blood. And Jesus is the one that gives the definition of who and what God is. God is a spirit. Never one time did he say that God is a person. He did not allude and say that God is 3 persons or that God is 2 persons, but rather he said God is a spirit. And so I'm really not interested in what definition that man is going to give God. I don't care what they came up with in the 2nd century. I don't care what they came up with at the Council of Nicaea. I don't care what they adopted and what they changed. I'm going with the words of Jesus Christ. And he says that God is a spirit. Praise God. And then we learned that the New Testament identifies God as the Father. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8:6.
But to us there is but one God.
There is but one God.
The Father.
And that is the Father.
Of whom are all things.
Uh-huh.
And we in him.
And we in him.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And we by him.
Oh, we could talk about that. And as he says, even one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:24.
Then cometh the end,
uh-huh,
when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father.
The kingdom to God, even the Father.
When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
All right, and so it is God, even the Father. James 3:9. One more scripture.
Therewith bless we God.
Bless we God.
Even the Father.
Even the Father, who is the Father.
And therewith curse uh-huh we men, which are made after the similitude of God.
All right, so the Father cannot be a person by definition. For he is a spirit, for he is God, and God is a spirit. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what Jesus, amen, declared unto us, that God is a spirit. Praise God. And so in this lesson here today, we are going to be identifying the Son. And let's just go ahead and say it, that the Son is the one that is commonly called the second person in the Godhead, which would be the man Christ Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to dig into this, Brother Mike. If you could help me, get me a couple of microphones. Let Brother Greg know which one that we're going with. Let's see here. Now, guys, I got this kind of color-coded a little bit better today. And so all the blue ones are yours. All of those blue ones are yours. And all of these blue ones are yours. And all of those blue ones are yours. And then we're going to go to these. And let's see here. All right, so that one right there is yours. That one right there will be yours. That one will be yours. And that one will be yours. Praise God. All right, we're going to get to those here in just a little bit, but you'll be ready for them. But we are talking about identifying the Son. We identified the Father last week in that the Father that identifying God and that God is a spirit. We identified that the Bible in the New Testament declares that spirit to be the Father. And so in this lesson here today, we are going to identify the Son. Now, I will just go ahead and just tell it to you like this. I would have loved to have finished this lesson completely. And two things. Number one, I am working out of a book. And Brother Riggin's book that he wrote several years ago about understanding the Godhead. And he has used this book. Not just this book, but he has used this method because he used it before he wrote it and made it into a book. But he used this method in Africa, and he still uses this method in Africa. And they have converted Trinitarian pastors by the scores. They have prayed through. They'll go over there and they'll have a conference of 200 or 300, and they'll baptize 80 to 150 to 200 of them, and men that their whole churches are converted in, and such like that. And so I am teaching this church, and we are going to make these books public to you. If you want one, you can purchase one. They're $10 a piece, and you can have it in your library to go back and to visit. And so I am following closely. I am adding. I bet you could have never guessed that, but I am adding to this book because I can. I can add to Brother Riggin's, but I can't add to God's. And so I am adding to some of those things. Some of the things I'm not covering just for time purposes, but Brother Riggin has got this lesson broke up into two different ones, and you just would not want to stay here that long. Amen. And you can tell me thank you later. Praise God. But at the same time, it just kind of leaves us hanging in limbo and being in suspense, and you'll understand it here in a little bit. Praise God. So what we want to do is we want to move through this, and to this week we are going to identify what the Bible declares to be the Son. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1 and verse number 35, go ahead and read. The Bible says,
"And the angel answered and said unto her,"
all right,
"the Holy Ghost."
The Holy Ghost.
Yes. "Shall come upon thee."
The Holy, he's talking to Mary here. The angel is talking to Mary. And the angel says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Read.
"Yes. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee."
All right.
"Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee."
Now it goes in and said, "that holy thing that shall be born of thee," read,
"shall be called the Son of God."
The holy thing is going to be called the Son of God. So here he states, the angel declares that the Holy Ghost shall come and overshadow thee. The Holy Ghost shall come. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And that holy thing that is going to be born of you is going to be called the Son of God. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 20.
"But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream."
The angel of the Lord appears unto Joseph in a dream and says,
"Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife."
Don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, and here's why.
"For that which is conceived in her,"
that which is conceived in her,
"is of the Holy Ghost."
Is of the Holy Ghost. So Luke says, the Holy Ghost shall come over you, Mary, and you are going to be with child. And then the angel comes and speaks unto Joseph and tells Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. That which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. And so Luke and Matthew both record that the angel proclaims that the Holy Ghost would perform the miracle of paternity upon the womb of Mary. Now, let me just state here something that we already all know. And that is that by reason, or that it is a biological fact, that whomsoever causes a woman to be with child is the father. Is that correct? Biological fact that whoever causes a woman to be with child, that individual is the child's father. And so by reason of historical documentation and emphatic declaration by two witnesses, in that Luke said that the Holy Ghost shall come and Matthew said that the Holy Ghost did come, we understand that the Holy Ghost, which is just simply a spirit, we don't need to be afraid of that. You're going to hear people that's going to commonly announce and say the Holy Spirit, and then there are those of us that declare and we say the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. A ghost is a spirit. And so King's English and that type is going to be spoken of ghost. And in our common language and stuff, we could say spirit. And so I am going to use both terms. For sake of a little bit further on to be able to comprehend and to put some stuff together. But we understand that the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit. And so by reason of this historical documentation, this would let us know that the Holy Spirit is the Father of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the Father of Jesus Christ. Because Luke said the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her, upon you, Mary. And Matthew said the Holy Ghost did overshadow Mary and cause her to be with child. Therefore, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the Father of Jesus Christ. It is physically impossible. Now, this is where it gets super crazy. And I'm just telling you, the more that I look into this, the more that I study into this, the more that I read some of this, the more stumped and mystified I become by a Trinitarian's doctrine. Amen. Just listen to this. Think about this. It is physically impossible for the Father to be the first person of the Godhead and the Holy Ghost to be the third person of the Godhead, yet to Father the second person of the Godhead, which was the Son. Think about that. That's why it's not understandable. Amen. How do you have one, two, and three, and one can't be the Father, but three is the Father of that which is before, numbered in before, first, second, and third? Praise God. Amen. And so we take this just by simply taking what we have. Not necessarily what Trinitarians give to us, but we are taking what we have. And we have got some things here. Number one, God is one. Number two, God is a spirit. Number three, that spirit, amen, of John 4:24, God, that would be and is the Father according to multiple scriptures throughout the New Testament. And then we also have that the Father is not the Father of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that overshadowed Mary and caused her to be with child, the Son. Praise God. So now let's take what we know and let's go apply it to our principles. Amen. And the first thing that we know is that God is a spirit. Amen. God is a spirit. We have already declared that. We've already established that. Jesus has already spoken that. And we have already went through and known that God, amen, of John 4:24 is the Father. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 6 and read there.
But to us there is but one God.
All right, there is but one God, which is
the Father.
The Father. All right, that's enough. Now, we have this Holy Spirit fathering the Son. That's Luke 1, 35, Matthew 1 and 20. Amen. So we have the Amen. Now if I'm correct here, if I am correct here at this point in time, don't prove me wrong yet. But at this point in time, we have God is a spirit. Are we right? All right. So if God is a spirit, and we've already declared that God is the Father, so we understand that the Father is a spirit. Amen? All right. But now we've got another spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Ghost. Amen. So now we have two spirits. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Read.
There is one body.
Now there is one body.
And one spirit.
No. There's got to be two, because we just declared and we just showed that there's two. He said that there is one body and that there is at least two spirits. That's not what it says, does it? Does your Bible say three spirits? Does your Bible say two spirits? Does your Bible say what that Bible up there says? Yeah. There is one body and there is one spirit. There is one spirit. We know that God is one.
Yes.
And we know that God is a spirit. And we know that spirit of John 4 and 24 equals the Father, because that's what James said. And that's what Paul told the Corinthian church. And that's what it is stated throughout all of the New Testament. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me just go on, because I found this extremely interesting. In that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. He said there is one Lord, there is one faith and one baptism. Now he goes to say there is one spirit, because we know that God is a spirit, correct? So we're not taking anything out of line. We know that there is one spirit. Ephesians 4 and 4, there is one spirit. And if there's one God, God is a spirit, there's one spirit. Even the Father of all. Now the Father is above all. The Father is through all. And this would tell us that the Father is in us all. Amen. This is where revelation needs to set in, and revelation needs to come. Amen. That something is not adding up. And I'm just here today to tell you that if something is not adding up, then there's more that I can know. There's more that I need to know. There's more that I need to read. If there's something that I don't understand, it's not time to close the Bible and to set it aside and just shrug our shoulders and say, well, I always thought it was a mystery. No. It's not a mystery. Amen. It was a mystery. But now even the Godhead can be understood. And if you don't understand it, you are without excuse. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise today. So there's something that I'm not understanding. So I'm going to open my Bible up and I'm going to start reading a little bit. You guys got your Bibles ready? All right, here we go. Now, I did not get this one on one of the slides, and so it's just what it is. If you want, you can either ask me after service or as they're reading, you can write these down. The Bible teaches us repetitively. Over and over and over, the Bible calls the Father the Holy One. Not the Holy Two, not part of the Holy Trinity. It just simply says that the Father is the Holy One. 2 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 22.
Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And again, who hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel.
The Holy One of Israel. Talking about the Father. All of these are discussing the Father. Why? Because it is the Father in creation. All right? Psalms chapter number 71, verse number 22.
I will also praise thee with thy psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee I will sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel.
All right, Psalms chapter number 89, verse 18.
Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel.
They limited the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 1 and 4.
All sinners, nations, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward.
All right, let's go back to Psalms, is it 89 and 18? All right, go ahead.
For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King.
All right, Isaiah chapter number 5, verse 19 and 24.
That say, let him make speed, and has hasten his work, and we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so the root shall be the rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. But because they have cast away all the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel.
All right, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17 and 20.
And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. It shall burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth.
Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 6.
Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
Isaiah 17 and 7.
At the day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel.
Isaiah 29, 19 and 23.
The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel.
All right, next, Isaiah 30. 11 and 12 and 15 and 29.
Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, because the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perversance and stay thereon. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel.
All right, and Isaiah 31 and 1, and we'll just stop there.
Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord.
All right, so over and over and over, and we have numerous scriptures, Isaiah 37 and 23, 41 and 14, 16 and 20, 43 and 3, 14 and 15, Isaiah 45 and 11, Isaiah 47 and 4, 48 and 17, 49 and 7, 54 and 5, 55 and 5, 60 9 and 14, Jeremiah 50 and 50 and 29, Jeremiah 51 and 5, Ezekiel 20 and 39, Ezekiel 39 and 7, and the list just goes on. But over and over and over concerning the Father, which that is all that is known in the Old Testament, amen, is the Creator. He is the one that in the beginning, God, and we always substitute that with the Spirit, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And so since God the Father is a spirit, and Ephesians 4 and 4 says that there is only one spirit, then God the Father must be the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Must be the Holy Spirit, because we don't have two spirits. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so let's move on. And we are going to talk about referencing the Father and the Holy Ghost. And this is just, you read your Bible. And so we're going to start bringing some clarity to some of this. In that you read your Bible and you're going to see where it's going to speak concerning the Holy Ghost. Other times it's going to speak concerning the Father. And it's sometimes going to speak concerning the Son. And so you say, well, there's some questions about this, and so let's just bring some clarity to this, in that these are not stating different persons, but rather that these are titles which identify positions of relationship. Amen. Positions of relationship. Let me give you a prime example. I am a man, but yet I hold several different titles. Number one, I am a husband. Number two, I am a father. Number three, I am a pastor. And number four, I am a son. So I am a husband, a father, a son, and a pastor, and yet I am one individual. All right? And so let's just talk about this just a little bit. What would it be like that I would say, because that these titles are not necessarily interchangeable, because that I am all of these things, I can't just throw in whatever title I want to, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. So I would say that while I am preaching, I would say, as your pastor, I am telling you, as your pastor, I am teaching you. I'm not going to stand up here and say, as your father. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, as your son, I'm telling you. The titles are not interchangeable. They fit specific purposes. As a husband, I'm not going to tell my wife, now, as your father, I'm telling you, I would like a glass of water, please. That's absolutely ludicrous. Somebody say, there's some weird stuff going on in the waters around here. Praise God. And when I'm speaking to my boys, how crazy would it be for me to tell them, well, I'm just telling you right now, you know, your son sure would be happy if you invite me to go play a little bit of golf with you. But I am a son. But I can't use that title in that relationship. I would have to say, your father would sure be happy if you'd invite me to go play golf with you. I'm not going to use the title husband in this case. Friend, that's a great mystery. And what if I was speaking to my dad and I told my dad, well, I'm just telling you, as your husband, there's some things that just don't make sense. And so we have to speak with clarity. And so when we read these titles throughout your Bible, when you read about the Father, there is a specific relationship that it is speaking of. When you read concerning the Holy Ghost, there is a specific relationship that it is speaking of, because there is only one God. And never in the Bible does it defer, amen, or refer to God as a person or a plurality of people. And when the Bible speaks concerning the Son, there is a relationship that it is speaking of. Praise God. Amen. And so that's what we're going to talk about here today. Praise God. Yet there are people that are here in this church, and you could come to me and you could state, I appreciate you as a pastor and the father that you are to your family. And so you can use both titles, amen, of relationship, even in one sentence concerning two. And so when you come up to me and you tell me, I appreciate the pastor and the father that you are to your family, amen, we don't get into a little machine and zip, all of a sudden there's two of us. No, there's one, but you have just referred to two occupations, to two titles, to two positions that I alone feel. Praise God. And so, amen. So when we talk about this, we know that the one God will be referred to as Father if the subject at hand is his relationship with his creation. And the one God will be referred to as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost if the writer is describing the indwelling Spirit who works in the lives of his people. Praise God. Now, do you understand all of this so far? Praise God. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. I'm so glad that he revealed himself unto us. Praise God. Amen. Let's go back to Luke chapter number 1. And verse number 35, and let's dig into this one a little bit more.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee.
All right, now the angel says, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and because we know things, we can say that it is the Father, but we can look at all of this and we can say that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, Mary. You, Mary, that's whom the Holy Ghost is going to come upon.
Right. Amen.
And we could declare that Matthew and even that Mary, and in how it says here that the power of the highest shall overshadow you, Mary.
Right.
And therefore that holy thing which shall be born of you, Mary, is going to be called the Son of God. Of God, the Son of God. That which was born of Mary was the Son of God. Why are we emphasizing Mary? Because there was no difference in Mary than any female that is in this room here right now, other than that she was highly favored of God. In other words, she was a woman just like all of the rest of the ladies of that time. She was capable of bearing children just like all the other ladies of that time, unless they were barren. She had flesh and she had blood. She was a physical human being. She was not a spirit. Let's go to John chapter number 3 and verse number 6. And Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he tells him,
that which is born of flesh.
Now, Mary, I'm going to talk to you here a little bit, but let's go talk to Nicodemus here for a little second. Amen. Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is?
Is flesh.
Is flesh. Uh-huh, and what did he say after that?
And that which is born of the Spirit.
But that which is born of the Spirit.
Is Spirit.
Is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And so we have this reality that is upon all of us, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh cannot be spirit. That which is born of the Spirit cannot be flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And so Mary is flesh. And that which is born of thee shall be flesh. And that which is born of thee shall be called the Spirit of God. And so since Mary was flesh, and since she did not give birth to spirit, then she gave birth to flesh because that she was flesh. But the Bible declares that the holy thing, amen, that holy child, that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. Therefore, the Son of God has to be flesh. It cannot be spirit. It has to be flesh. Praise God. And so let's go into this next Trinitarian step. And let's talk about the Son of God versus God the Son. And let me first state that nowhere in your Bible, not one single time in your Bible, does it ever declare Christ to be called God the Son. Never, 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 never. It's not in there. You can search from Genesis 1 to Revelations 22, amen, until the very last amen. And you will never, not one time, are you ever going to see where it calls the Son God the Son. It does not do that. It does not. But it does say that He was the Son of God, but never God the Son. Praise the Lord. And so according to the angel Gabriel, the Son of God was the fleshly body which was born to Mary. And since God is a spirit and Mary did not give birth to a spirit, but we could see in Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Go ahead and read.
But
when the fullness of time was come, when God was ready, the Spirit, when He was ready.
Yes. God sent forth His Son.
The Spirit sent forth His Son. Now, we're going to learn that every time we hear and speak and concern and read the word Son, we're going to equate it to humanity, or we're going to equate it to flesh. And every time we read the word God, we're going to naturally equate it to Spirit. And so the Bible says that when the fullness of time was come, that the Spirit sent forth His what? His Son, or His flesh. Amen. He sent forth His flesh, amen, even as the Bible declares, to be made of a woman, to be made of flesh, and to be made under the law. And so Mary was not the mother of God, but rather she was the mother of the Son of God. Amen. And the term Son of God always refers to the humanity of God. The embodiment of God. Amen. And this is why I'm telling you, you're so glad that I didn't finish all of this. Praise God. I'm going to work on coming to a close here in another hour, but nevertheless, we're just getting cranked up. Amen. I'm just drinking water to build up steam. And so we come to look at the humanity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, and let's look at His humanity. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 52.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Does God have to increase in wisdom? Is God omniscient? God knows all things? But yet Jesus increased in wisdom, and He grew, and He had favor with God and man. What about Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 2?
And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered.
Jesus was hungry. Do you think that God gets hungry? I don't. But the man did, and that's what we're talking about, the humanity of Christ. John chapter number 4 and verse number 6.
Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour.
All of a sudden, God got tired. God's like, I sit down and take a break. Now, God doesn't get tired, but Jesus, the man, did. The man, Christ Jesus, did grow weary. And when He grew weary, what did He do? Matthew 8 and 24.
And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but He was asleep.
And Jesus was asleep. But that wasn't the only thing that He was affected by. John 11 and 35.
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. He cried tears. What about Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13?
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
Uh-oh. Jesus asked and he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Not the Son of God. He said, "The Son of Man." He was admitting his humanity. He was accepting, he was declaring his humanity. He said, "Whom do men say that this humanity, that this flesh is?" He even called himself a man. John chapter number 8 and verse number 40.
"But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham."
He said, "You seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth." I'm just a man, and I'm just telling you the truth. And then we see the culmination of it all in John 19 and 33. Read.
"But when they came to Jesus and they saw that he was dead,"
they
already
saw that he was dead,
"they break not his legs."
1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 3.
"For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures."
Christ died for our sins. I can submit to you today and I can tell you that the man Christ Jesus died, but God didn't die. A spirit does not get smarter. A spirit does not get hungry. A spirit does not get weary. A spirit does not sleep, nor does it weep. A spirit can never be the Son of Man. A spirit cannot be man. A spirit does not die. But the Son of God, Mary's baby boy, was fully man in every sense of the word. He was flesh, but he was not divine flesh. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 24 tells us a little bit about that.
"For all flesh..."
For some flesh is...
"...is as grass."
For some flesh is...
No,
he didn't say some flesh. He said all flesh. In other words, the flesh of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He said all flesh is as grass. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. The flesh that Jesus Christ possessed was the same flesh that his mother possessed. It wasn't a divine flesh and his mother natural flesh. Amen. His mother was natural flesh. Amen. And he was natural flesh. And his brothers was natural flesh, and Joseph was natural flesh. There was no divine flesh that was a part of that family whatsoever at all. He was natural flesh. Praise God. Amen. And so now let's talk about what people would like to call him. They would like to declare him to be the eternal son. We've all heard that one. The eternal son. I've got a few problems with the eternal son. Amen. We do believe in the eternal Father and therefore the eternal Spirit because we know that they're one and the same. But we do not believe in the eternal Son. Let's read John chapter 3 and verse number 16.
"For God so loved the world..."
For the Spirit so loved the world. God so loved the world.
"That he gave his only begotten Son."
That he gave his only what?
Begotten Son.
Begotten. Anybody know what begotten means? I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean eternal.
No.
Begotten simply means with a beginning. Somewhere or another, it had to start. In other words, it wasn't always. It wasn't preceding. It was not, amen, the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. The begotten Son simply means that at some point in time, something had to happen to start the process of the Son. We know what that process was. We know what happened. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 35. Amen. Says that the Holy Ghost is going to come over you, Mary. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 20. Matthew says the Holy Ghost did said to overcome, you marry. Amen. And you, Joseph, don't be afraid to take her, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That's where the begotten son comes in. This is one of the most well-known Christian verses in the world today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. It is begotten. He didn't say eternal son. He said it was the begotten son. Hallelujah. Amen. The begotten means the beginning. Eternal has no beginning. And Christ was the begotten son, not the eternal son. And we need to be careful. I don't know that we need to be careful, even though that we are, because we understand. But I'm just telling you that this world needs to be extremely careful about what they're adding to the Bible and what they're taking away from the Bible, because it's not going to do them any favor. Because Jesus said, upon the revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The entire church is going to be built upon the revelation that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He was the Messiah that came. He was that which David prophesied of, what Isaiah prophesied of, Jeremiah prophesied of, Malachi prophesied of, all of the other prophets prophesied of. The fulfillment of prophecy was wrapped up in the embodiment of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm almost done. Revelations chapter number 22 and verse number 18.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things.
He said, if any man. That includes theologians.
Yeah.
Prophets. Paul said, if any man come unto you preaching anything that I have not already preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, again, I say unto you, if any man or an angel of light come preaching, let him be accursed. And so here in Revelations 22, he said that if any man, I don't care what degrees you have on the backside of your name, I don't care what kind of apostle, prophet, or anything else that you declare yourself to be, whether it's self-proclaimed or given unto you by somebody else.
Come on now. Yeah.
He said, any man, yes. If any man, read.
God shall add him unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
If you add unto the book, the Bible says that God is going to add the plagues that are written into the book into your life. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say,
and if any man shall take away from the
words. And if any man, you theologian with the big degrees and all the letters behind your name and the DR in front of your name, he said, if any man shall take away from the words that are in the book of this prophecy.
Yeah. God shall take away.
God himself shall take away.
His part. Out of the book of life.
Uh-huh.
And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
It simply goes to say that you don't need to be adding to what the scriptures say. And you don't need to be taking away from what the scriptures say and what the scriptures declare. And we have often said, amen, concerning a lot of different things that you don't add and that you don't take away from it. But let me just go a step further and say that for everyone that is out there that is declaring him to be, amen, God the Son, you are adding to what the scriptures do not say. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible concur and say that he is God the Son. When you say that he is God the Son, you are adding unto the scripture. And let me just take it a step further. If you say God the Holy Ghost, you are saying something something that nowhere in your Bible does it ever refer to God, the Holy Ghost. Amen. God the Father, it does say over and over and over again. Amen. But you will never get three persons out of that. Amen. There is one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. But beyond that, there is no God the Son, and there is no God the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I understand that when I know the Father, I know the Holy Ghost. And when I know the Holy Ghost, I know the Son. Because He is the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in sanctification. Thank God for the wonderful revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus. Let's stand here tonight. Now, I knew that I would get done early, but I also knew if I took on part two of this, we would get done late. So I had mercy. But let me just state that there are some things that the Bible never says. The Bible never says three persons in one. So don't add. The Bible never declares Holy Trinity and never even declares Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. God is one is. God the Son is not in the Bible. God the Holy Ghost is not in the Bible. Great Commission is not in the Bible. Accept Christ as your personal Savior. It's not in the Bible. Join the church. That's not in the Bible. Protestant. It's not in the Bible. Denomination is not in the Bible. Laity is not in the Bible. They are all words and phrases that are not in the Bible. I'm not against using some of these because I can understand what they are. But to build doctrine upon something that's not in the Bible is extremely dangerous. And I know what they say. Well, if you are so enlightened, why isn't everybody else enlightened? That's not my fault. If you are so enlightened, then why isn't your church completely packed out and full? Well, the answer to that is multiple reasons. Number one, it's easier to believe a lie than to search for the truth. Number two, the Bible says, wide is the gate, broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. But because narrow is the way, because straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, few there be that find it. In other words, you got to look for it. You got to look for it. You know why a lot of people don't find this? Because they're afraid of what they're going to find. They're afraid that what they have believed for decades is going to be wrong. They're afraid that what they have accepted with grandma and grandpa's religion is not going to be correct. They're afraid of the facts. They're afraid of the truth. But the truth of the matter is, there is only one God, and God is a spirit. And that God manifested himself in the man Christ Jesus. And he took on the roles of Father, Son, and Spirit. In other words, he became what he wasn't. God is a spirit. he was not flesh. He became what he wasn't, yet remained what he was. Praise God. And so I leave you in suspense today. Because the ultimate question at this point in time, and I like built the whole half of the lesson, I'm building it, and I'm like, you know what, I'm never going to finish it. I might as well just quit. I'm going to rush it and not do it justice. But the ultimate question right now is, you're saying, Pastor, you have just explained to me that Jesus Christ was flesh, that he was a man. So was he God? That's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about God in Christ. This is so powerful. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Go ahead and switch those. Go ahead and put your interchangeables in there. God is a spirit. And we know that the Spirit was the Father. And we know that Christ was the Son. The Father in the Son, reconciling the world unto the Father. The Father through the Son, reconciling the world back unto himself. The Spirit in the Son, reconciling the world back to himself. Praise God. I'm so glad that I know him. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and magnify him today.